So let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And I want to read just one verse, and that's verse 15. Verse 15. Notice here in this 15th verse, the Apostle Peter says these words, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Now, the apostles spent 3.5 years with the Lord Jesus. And they were, at the end, convinced beyond any shadow of doubt, they were convinced that Jesus was who he claimed to be. There was absolutely no doubt in their minds. And you'll remember that he commissioned them just before he ascended back to heaven to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that's exactly what they did. And I think, and I want to ask this question when I get to heaven, get to talk with one of them, but I think that in the beginning, they thought that the gospel and their message was going to be well received. I think that they thought, well, this is what the world has been waiting on, and now we finally have what the world's been waiting on, and everybody's going to be excited to hear this wonderful story of Jesus and this plan of salvation that he has given us. But boy, it didn't quite work out that way, did it? They were persecuted. I don't know if you're aware of it, but every one of the disciples, of course, not Judas, he committed Hare Kerry, you remember, but all the rest of them died a martyr's death. Every one of them. They were all persecuted, hated, despised by the world. And eventually, the world rose up against them and took their lives. And persecution, by the time Peter wrote this book, persecution was everywhere. And Christians were being murdered for their faith. And that's what this book is all about. The book of 1 Peter is all about handling the persecution that came upon the first century church. How to deal with your enemies and how to deal with persecution. And I want you to notice in this 15th verse, as a means of encouraging the Christians, the Apostle Peter says to them, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." Now, what's he saying there? Well, basically, here's what he's saying. You better know what you believe. You better know what you believe. Folks, think about it for a moment. What if somebody came in and put a gun to your head and said, "Renounce your faith"? What would you do? Renounce your faith. Well, that's basically what they were doing, and they're doing it today in the Middle East. But they were doing it in the first century. And Peter says, "Hey, church, listen, you better know what you believe." And then he goes on to say, he says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Know what you believe. Number two, know why you believe it." Know why you believe it. He said, "And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you." You better know what you believe, number one. You better know why you believe it, number two. And then you better be ready to give an answer when you're questioned on it. And I think if there's a message that we need as we begin 2017, it is those three points. Do you know what you believe? Do you know why you believe it? And are you ready to give an answer? You see, in those early days, the disciples knew what they believed about Jesus. They knew who he was. They were convinced. They knew he was the Son of God. They knew that he was who he claimed to be. He said that he was God in the flesh. He did not mince words on that. And he was clear that he was sent by God as our Redeemer. And the disciples believed it. There was no doubt in their mind. I want us to pray, and then I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of spiritual discouragement. How can we keep from being discouraged as we live for the Lord in 2017? Let's pray real quick and ask the Lord to help us and in the message. Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you for allowing us the privilege to open the Bible this morning, God's eternal Word, and look at its truths. And I pray that you will bless what I'm about to say this morning. Lord, I pray that you will encourage us and help us to know what we believe, and then to know why we believe it, and then to be ready to give an answer when we're questioned about what we believe. Father, I ask for your Holy Spirit to guide and direct my thoughts this morning and help me to say what I need to say. I pray that you will fill me with your Spirit and just enable the message to pierce into our hearts today so that we can leave here today challenged to take a stand for the truth and for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, Father, bless now, we pray. We commit this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you will hold your place here, I want you to go back to the book of Romans chapter 8 for just a moment. And I want you to see just how strong and strongly convicted these men in the early church were about what they believed. I want you to look at Romans 8. And I'll begin reading in verse 35. Hold your place in 1 Peter 3. We'll go back there in just a moment. But look at verse 35 of Romans 8. And Paul is going to ask a rhetorical question here. A rhetorical question is one where the answer is obvious. And he asks this question in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, the obvious answer to that is nobody and nothing. There is no way anything can ever separate us from the love of Christ. The simple truth of the matter is God is going to love you no matter what. That's the bottom line. And so he goes on to illustrate and to emphasize the strength of the question. He says, shall tribulation, and of course the answer is no. And then he says, shall distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And the answer, of course, is no. And then he says, as it is written, and it's written in Psalm 44 and verse 22, as it is written in the Old Testament, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. But then he goes on to say, in answer to the question, nay, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that comforting? Amen. Absolutely nothing can separate you from your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing. That's amazing to me. Now, the disciples, they were convinced that Jesus was who he claimed to be. They went everywhere at the risk of death. And they proclaimed that message. And they stood upon the foundation of what they had seen in Christ and believed that he was who he claimed to be. Jesus said that he was the Son of God. They had no problem with that. Why is it today that preachers and theologians want to discredit the deity of Christ? Folks, if Jesus is not the Son of God, if he's not who he claims to be, you and I are wasting our time here today. If he is not who he claimed to be, God in the flesh, then we don't have a Savior. We don't have a Redeemer. But he is who he claimed to be. I believe that, don't you? Amen. If I didn't believe it, I would close up this Bible, I'd walk out of here, and I'd go get me a real job. But he is who he claims to be. The disciples watched him. They saw him do all those mighty miracles, and they turned and looked at one another and they said, nobody could do the things this man's doing unless he was of God. They were convinced. He told them, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. And they turned and looked at him and said, Lord, it took decades to build this temple. And you say you could raise it in 3 days? He said, I'm not talking about that physical building. I'm talking about me. If you kill, when they kill me, I will resurrect in 3 days. And again, they all looked at one another and said, what in the world is he talking about? And then he went to the cross. And he died on that cross. You say, well, how do you know he was dead? Because they took him from the cross, they wrapped him in grave clothes, and they buried him. That's what you do to folks when they die. You bury them. That's pretty good proof that somebody's dead. Nod your heads. And so day one went by. They went and they looked and they saw a stone rolled in front of the tomb. They saw guards out in front to make sure nobody stole the body. Day two went by. Day three went by and they went over because somebody came and told them, he is risen. And they ran to the tomb and sure enough, the stone was rolled away. And our author, Peter, ran inside and saw the grave clothes laying there, but nobody in the clothes. And then he came out, and there was Jesus standing there. Whoa! They were convinced. And that's why they could go out in the face of persecution, and that's why they could go out in the face of death and preach this gospel, because they knew what they believed. They experienced it. They saw him dead and then alive. And before he went to heaven, he turned to them and he said, now, gentlemen, you go and tell the world my gospel. You go into all the world and preach my gospel. And they did. And when they did, they were hated for it. When they did, they had problems. Look, are you still in Romans 8? Look at Romans 8, verse 35. Here's the question, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then with Paul's little illustration here, you kind of get the idea that hey, if you know what you believe and you believe this gospel, you're going to have some problems along the way. Folks, listen, the devil is not going to let you get from salvation to the pearly gates without a fight. There is going to be problems. You're going to have issues. You're going to have sickness. You're going to have to deal with loved ones dying. You're going to have to deal with a bad report from the doctor. You're going to have to deal with rejection and persecution along the way. It's just what the devil does. And yet we are being fed by the religious world this information that says, if you're saved, you should have no problems. Folks, I'm here today to tell you, if you're saved, be thankful you have problems. That's a pretty good indication that the devil is not happy with your Christian life. He's fighting you. I tell you, one of the worst things that ever happened to America was this prosperity gospel that is broadcast over our television sets, and people sit and watch this stuff on TV, and after a while, if you keep listening to it, you're going to be convinced of it, and the next thing you know, you're wondering, well, I must not be a very good Christian. I'm sick. I'm tired of that theology. According to verse 35, you're going to have tribulation. And according to verse 35, you're going to have some distress and some peril along the way. I mean, there's going to be some problems come along. And I think what happens is we listen to a lot of this foolishness and we get discouraged when we get sick. Well, I'm going to tell you something, folks. Not a one in here getting any younger. And with age and the curse of sin upon us comes illness. And if you take your checkbook out and send $100 to Brother So-and-so's ministry, that's not going to guarantee your wellness. And, you know, your wife told me a story after the first service. You know the story, don't you? Yeah. One of these ministries down south, and the guy and they were teaching and preaching this doctrine. If you're saved and if you're right with God, you're never going to get sick. You know, you remember David Koresh down in Texas? That was his theology. I mean, he's standing there with glasses as thick as Coke bottles, telling everybody that if you right with God, you'll never have a physical problem. Folks, somebody should have told Paul that, don't you think? And in this ministry down there, they were advancing this theology, and the guy throws his hands up in the air all of a sudden and drops to the floor. Well, they all thought that, you know, he was being slain in the spirit, and he died of a heart attack right there. He's laying there dying. They're all shouting and praising God, thinking he was in the spirit. Folks, there is a curse upon us. We're going to have sickness. And there is a devil out there that is going to fight you tooth and nail to keep you down and to keep you from being a witness and to keep you from being a light for God. And Paul is simply saying here, listen, when you get sick, realize nothing's going to separate you from the love of God. Absolutely nothing. And we're being fed a lot of this stuff that is just not right. Somebody gets on TV and they say, give to get. And what they mean is, give to me so you can get. And they convince you to send them money that you don't have. Give to get. You know, folks, what the Bible says is tithe. Whatever happened to tithing? And you tithe to your local church. But all this stuff is confusing people. We've been preaching for, I'm entering into my 40th year of ministry here. I know I don't look that old, and God bless you. Thank you for saying so. You're so kind to say that. God bless all of you. All of you sweet people just said that. God bless you. I've been preaching since day one. The Lord's coming back. How many of you believe that? Amen. Me too. Know what you believe. Here's what we believe. We believe the Lord's coming back. All right, question number two. Do you know why you believe it? Because the Bible says so. Did not the Lord tell us that he was going to die? He was going back to heaven, but he's coming again. Of course he did. When the disciples were standing there on the Mount of Olives, they watched as he went out of sight. And while they were standing there watching him go out of sight, two angels came and appeared and said to the disciples, "Why stand ye gazing up into heaven?" It's not gazing time, it's working time. "Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, shall so come again in like manner as you have seen him go." Jesus is coming back. Now, I've been preaching that for 40 years. And in 2010, we went back through all the Old Testament scriptures and looked at all the Old Testament prophets and what they had to say about Jesus coming again. Tied it all together to the current events and what is happening in our world. And man, I got so excited about the rapture. Every time I saw a cloud formation, I thought, boy, that'd be a good one for him to appear in. I'd wake up in the morning and think, this is the day. We're going to hear the trumpet sound today. And yet the Lord has not yet come. You say, well, Pastor, how do you know he hadn't come? Because I'm still here. You see, I know what I believe and I know why I believe it. And when he comes, I'm going up. Changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Get rid of this old sick body. Gonna get me a new one. Oh, I need one, don't you? Don't look at me like that. You need one too. You ain't kidding anybody. I know what I believe. I know why I believe it. And if you ask me about it, I'll tell you. But you know, because the Lord has not yet come, and now we're in 2017. Good grief. Didn't we just do 2000? I mean, wasn't that just a couple months ago? Seems like it, doesn't it? I've always had folks tell me, well, you know, the older you get, the faster time goes. Yes. I can tell you that's true. And I think what happens is when something doesn't happen to us, like the rapture, maybe we get a little discouraged. We get a little discouraged and we think, oh, well. I have a preacher friend. God bless him. I love him. He's one of my dear friends. But no matter when I talk to him, I ask him how he's doing, and he's just doing awful. I mean, everything's just awful. How you doing, brother? Oh, man, Brother Norris. It's awful. Well, what's the matter? Well, brother, yeah. And he'll stand there and tell me all this stuff that's going on in his church, and I'm depressed time I'm finished talking with him. I mean, I want to quit the ministry and go sell used cars time he's done. Seriously. And he's been like, I've known him forever, and he's been that way forever. And we get discouraged. And can I remind you that the scripture is very clear to tell us, don't get weary in well-doing. And serving God and living for God and knowing what you believe and knowing why you believe it and being ready to give an answer, that is good. Don't get weary in doing good. And so these disciples, here they are out there preaching and persecution comes. Don't you think they got a little discouraged? And folks, I think maybe it happens to us too. I think we can get a little discouraged along the way. And we said, well, Pastor, when you were preaching on the second coming back in 2010 and 2011, man, I just knew the Lord was going to come. And now here we are in 2017 and the Lord has not come back yet. And Pastor, look at the world today. Man, it's a mess. Don't you think the Lord should have come back by now? Well, let me tell you, if I was running things, yes. But I'm not running things. And neither are you. You say, well, Pastor, what do we do? All right, here's what you do. You got a Bible? Learn it. Read it. Study it. Come to church. Amen. Come to church. I'm talking Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival meeting, missions conference, Bible conference. I mean, just come to church and come hungry. Come with the Bible in your hand and open it up and follow along and jot things down and learn and know your Bible. Know what you believe. Know why you believe it. And be ready to give an answer. And you'll get over that discouragement real quick. Because folks, if it's in the Bible, you can trust it. You can trust it. Now, look, where are we? Romans. Look at that Romans 8 again. I said I was going to go back to 1 Peter, but I just haven't got there yet. I may not get there. That's fine, Noah. I want you to see what I want you to see. Look here. Look at verse 38. Paul said, for I am, what's the next word? Are you persuaded? I am. I mean, I am just persuaded. I believe what it says. For I am persuaded. Now look at this. Paul said, I'm convinced that neither death. John Rice was preaching down in Texas one time, and this guy came up behind him, pulled out a revolver, stuck it right between his eyes. He turned around, that gun was right between his eyes. And that guy had his finger on the trigger and held it right up between John Rice's eyes, and he said, I'm going to kill you. John Rice looked down at him and said, sir, you can't scare me with heaven. Didn't even flinch. And the guy was so rattled, he didn't know what to do. And he dropped the gun. They, of course, converged on him. But would that have been your response? Would that have been your... If you turned around, there was a gun right between your eyes, and the guy said, I'm going to blow your head off. Would your response have been, sir, you can't scare me with heaven? For you see, John Rice knew if a guy did kill him, to be absent in the body and to be present with the Lord. So Paul says, I'm persuaded. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 11, Paul said that you and I are to be thankful if we're counted worthy to suffer for Christ. You're going to have your problems. You're going to have sickness. You're going to have conflict. You're going to have peril along the way. The devil is going to see to that. He is not going to let you get from salvation to glory without a fight. He's just not going to do it. So what do? Here's what you do. You know what you believe. You know why you believe it, and you get ready to give an answer when you're asked about it. because absolutely nothing can separate you from the Lord. You see, folks, listen. Listen, please, think. I don't need a promise never to be sick. I don't need that. But what I do need is a promise that when I am sick, the Lord is going to be there by my side. That's what I need. Because I've been there and done that and got the T-shirt. I've been there and done that. I know what it is to be sick. I've been there and I've done that. And you know what? When I went through it a couple of times, the Lord was there. That's what I need. I don't need a promise never to have a broken heart. What I need is a promise that when I have a broken heart, His grace is sufficient for me. I don't need a promise to never to have to suffer, but what I do need is a promise that when I am suffering, He will never leave me nor forsake me. And I've got that. It's right here in the book. I've got that. And when I know my promises, when I know what I believe, and I'm convinced, I am persuaded, as Paul said, then as I journey through life and the devil comes at me trying to thwart what I am doing for the glory of God, I know I can make it because I've got a promise right here in this book. And so I just reach over, grab the book, and claim the promise. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I'm His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Amen. That's the difference, folks. You ever wonder what the world does when disaster strikes them? Where do they turn? Where do they find their consolation? Where do they find their comfort? Thank God we sorrow not as others which have no hope. And there are folks all over this building and you're spiritually discouraged because of your circumstances. Well, my dear friend, you're missing out on one of the great blessings that God has for you. Are you dealing with sickness? Well, listen, be like Paul and glorify God in your infirmity. Are you dealing with a grieving heart? Well, glorify God in your grief. Are you dealing with suffering in your life? Well, glorify God in your suffering. I mean, just look at it like Paul did and praise God that God counts you worthy to suffer for Him. That's how Paul put it. And I've had people say to me, well, Pastor, I must not be a good Christian. Look at all my problems. Oh, quit looking at it that way. That's what those TV guys are. That's the way they're wanting you to look at it. Pastor, I must not be a good Christian. I've got this problem. No, that's the way they're wanting you to look at it. Don't look at it that way. Who shall separate us from God loving us? Let the tribulation come. God still loves me. Let the distress come. God still loves me. Let the persecution come. God still loves me. And realize that nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. So Christian, don't be spiritually discouraged. Don't be spiritually discouraged. You drag in here, you sit down and you say, oh, I just don't know if I can make it another week. I bet you do. I bet you do. The question is, how's that week going to be for you? Is it going to be one of self-pity? Is it going to be one where you're defeated at every waking moment? Or is it going to be one where on Monday you get up and you find a promise and you just say, wow, that's from God. I believe that. I believe that. It's in the Word of God. It must be true. Titus 1:2, God cannot lie. If it's in the book, it must be true. Amen? And so I'm going to claim that promise. Know what you believe. And the devil whisper in your ear and say, well, why are you going to believe that? Because it's in the book. And God can't lie to me. And then you go along and somebody says, wow, look at you. I mean, you're really doing well. Yeah. Well, I know what you're going through, but you're really doing well. Yeah. Let me tell you why I'm doing well. I've got a God who walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I'm His own. When we were kids, we had a store. It was called Big Star. Big Star Supermarket. And Mom would, you know, load us all up in the car and we go to the store. And you go inside and get all the groceries and put them on that little conveyor belt and the girl rings them up. Remember the day when they used to type the... Yeah, she'd stand there, take each item and type it into the cash register. And then it would all go down. There was always a boy, teenager, usually standing there bagging the groceries. Remember that? Remember when they used to do that for you? And then down at the end of the belt where the guy was bagging the groceries, there was a stack of books about that wide, about that thick, and they were just stacked down at the end. And when you finished ringing up the groceries, the girl would take your receipt and then this little machine would calculate how many green stamps you got. Remember green stamps? Yeah? And boy, you could get some neat stuff. You fill those little books up. Those little books were just spaces, and you would take those green stamps when you got home and put them in those books, and there were prizes. You could redeem those green stamp books for stuff. You know, like encyclopedias and toasters and can openers and all that kind of neat stuff. And you know, I think that there are a lot of people today that are looking at the Bible like it's a green stamp book. You know, they're looking at the Bible and looking at God like the Bible's a lottery ticket. And folks, we're not talking about any of that. We're talking about you having a relationship with your God, and you fellowship with Him, and you walk with Him, and He guides you, and you trust Him as He is guiding you. And that'll keep you from getting spiritually discouraged. Walking and growing and having a Christian life. And that'll keep you from being discouraged as you serve. I'm so thankful for these verses. I mean, Paul said, nothing will separate us. Peter said, know what you believe. Now, these two men knew what they were talking about. They knew who Jesus was. But let me just stop here and say, you know who He is too. And your testimony ought to be the same as theirs. Are you persuaded? Paul was. Paul trusted Him. Let you and me trust Him.